The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I just like playing good people, particularly this time of year. It doesn't matter to me that it's the Eagles, to be quite honest with you. The people that we play are generally nameless, gray faces to us. We focus on the things that we need to do, how we divide our labor up, how we play to our strengths, how we minimize our weaknesses. But I do like playing really good people. I think there's growth in it. Obviously, you got to get the job done. But, man, I think there's significant growth in pitting your collective talents and skills versus big-time opponents, and there's certainly that.
50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. We are live at Porky's in Etna. Great spot, man. Their barbecue is off the chain. T-Bird, who won a hot dog eating contest at best barbecue he's ever had in Pittsburgh. Malty, just
it's terrific.
Wolf down a burnt end sandwich. Barbecue. Really cool bar. Beer selection is really unique, and they've got some hidden gems here. So come down to Etna and check it out. We're also raising money for an excellent cause. The Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh are for the Win Charity Drive. Also, the good folks here have pledged that a dollar off every smoked wing order is going to go to that cause today. So come on down and see us at Smokey's. That was Tomlin on the Eagles and Nameless Gray Faces, etc. So weird, because you watch Hard Knocks. He doesn't treat these guys like Nameless Gray Faces. He puts up, you know, special PowerPoints on making sure Myles Garrett doesn't beat them, or making sure Joe Burrow doesn't have a huge game. He does not treat every player equally.
Do the coaches make the PowerPoints themselves, or do they have people they delegate?
Definitely have people on staff. What do you think that guy's making over there to just make PowerPoints? Is he making 100K?
You think there's only one PowerPoint guy?
Okay, do you think the PowerPoint guy gets 100K a year from the Steelers? Guys? PowerPoint
yes,
guys?
Actually. But I think they have like a fancy title. It's like video or like coordinator quality. It's something about quality control. It doesn't just say he makes PowerPoints of what the coaches tell him to.
Do you think that person also gets coffee?
Like it's a menial job like that where they've got to do that as part
PowerPoints,
of
PowerPoints, coffee.
No, I think they've got a coffee person there too.
What do you think the coffee person makes?
50.
T-Bird, would you take $50,000 a year to just go get coffee for people?
No.
I like that.
He's not a cheap date.
It's not even about the money. I'd rather just be fulfilled by what I'm doing than be pouring coffees.
Look at this profound guy. Are you T-Bird or are you Confucius over there? My goodness, I feel like I got some real philosophical advice.
Charlie, would you take $50K to just go get coffee for people?
I mean, I make significantly less to pour Miller Lite, so, I mean, I'd rather do the Miller Lite than the coffee.
Oh, so you went the opposite way of what I thought you were going
me
to be
too.
Saying.
You're
yeah,
also,
that was a very confusing statement.
No, it seems more fulfilling to have the conversation with people while bartending
people.
Than just getting coffees ordered.
Oh, 100%. Bartenders are some of the world's greatest people.
Charlie, have you had somebody cry at your bar in the last 6 months because of a moving conversation that you had with that person?
No, but I have had people cry at the bar before.
Have you had anybody put bread in your jar and say, man, what are you doing here?
Have you had to break up a fight Paul Bissonnette style at your bar in the last year?
In the last year, no. The bar that I work at now is significantly less.
Do you?
I don't want to say busy, but like the clientele is not as rambunctious as the place I bartended
rambunctious
in,
people have
in Jersey.
Spots.
Do you think Biz would trade those guys who attacked him, don't get put in jail, and instead he gets 10 minutes alone to fight each one of them one-on-one?
He has said that on the record, so yes.
Oh, he did?
On the Spit and Chicklets podcast, like, put me in a room with each and every single one of them for 5 minutes, and then all charges are dropped.
That is very funny. That
I'll tell you what, I
was.
Always liked this in it. I thought he was a character and just a very entertaining person. And the Charles Barkley of hockey with some of the things he says and does.
Yes.
His popularity with me and approval rating with me has gone up 100-fold with this.
Well, because he was trying to like help out the bar people.
Yeah, he got beat up for it because it was just a numbers game.
I do like his explanation, though, was like a classic hockey player. He's like, I took a few, gave a few, like just very casually. And you know the few he took were nowhere near as severe as the few he gave.
The guy's a Wheeling Nailers legend. They should really retire his number down there. Come on, Nailers, get on it.
Like, why wouldn't you just have his jersey, and instead of actually putting, like, you could put a real one, Bissonette, but then put Biz Nasty.
Either way, I just think that would bring the house down if you went down to that barn and you saw Biz's jersey, like, you know, up in the raft.
You know, he's somebody else who also kind of tweeted his way into, like, famous.
I'm a fan.
He just tweeted out enough funny stuff that he got on radars and they started the Spittin' Chiclets and all that. And then he's, I always, you know what?
I got a lot of love and a lot of respect for what he's done.
I don't say this about, like, the Hawk Tua girl who obviously ripped people off with a meme coin. But
is that what happened there?
Yeah, it was a pump and dump completely.
That's a real coin?
They had a Hawk Tua meme coin, and then its value like spiked insanely and then immediately plummeted almost 100%. It was a pump-and-dump scheme.
So she's a pretty rotten person then.
Yeah, I do not find her to be a good person, no.
Like, well, if she's stealing money from people, then yeah, I think it's well within your right to feel
pretty,
that way, Mom.
Pretty bad person, but what I was saying was what she made me think of is she's obviously tried in all sorts of ethically questionable ways to capitalize on her 15 minutes. I really respect people who get like a little sliver or a window in and have real talent and like take it as far as Biz has. Like, I just think that's very impressive.
All right, let me give you a midweek vibe check here on Steelers and Eagles. I think the Philly defense could shut us out in this game. I think given the George Pickens absence and what Philly excels at, their pass defense is the best in the entire NFL with the Vic Fangio hire. I mean, we rave about it's not universal raving. But we're happy with the Arthur Smith replacing Matt Canada move.
Yep.
Fangio has just done wonders for that defense, getting all those Georgia guys and highly drafted players to live up to their potential this year. And it took a little bit of time, but now they're one of the best defenses in the NFL. They have given up here. Let me see. They're second in scoring defense. And they've given up the fewest passing yards, not just period, but also yards per pass attempt. So this is a big with the moon ball.
They're the
big
best
play
they're,
offense.
They're the times. Best defensive. No, they're specifically Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders, or formerly of their DVOA guy. They're the single best team in the league at defending passes over 16 yards.
Right. So they take the big play away. They keep a lid on things.
Mm-hmm.
And now we don't have George Pickens, and we're counting on Mike Williams and Calvin Austin to do that. I don't have a lot of excitement about that and belief in it. So really what this turns into, if the Steelers are going to win and be competitive, it turns back into a game like the ones we saw. Late stage Ben, Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett in those years.
Even Fields played games like that.
They got to go back to trying to win a game where you somehow drag Philly into a first to 17 game. And their offense has been a little bit hit or miss here. I mean, they didn't score a lot of points against
horrible
Carolina.
Horrible first quarter team.
The worst first quarter team in the entire league.
Horrible. I mean, Carolina had them beat, and Xavier Leggett dropped the pass.
Did you see what he said today on Amon-Ra St. Brown's podcast? Because you know he's from the sticks, Leggett.
Yes, he's got the funniest, like deep, deep South Carolina accent.
He said
accent
his
ever.
Family ate raccoon at least one day a week.
So I've heard people say, though, that if you go back and can find anything of him in college talking, that this is a little bit of a put-on because he realized he has an accent but also realizes, like...
So you're not buying the raccoon once a week?
No, they might have done that. I'm just saying...
Where are you getting raccoon? You're trapping it and then skinning it? And
if you live
that's
in
a lot of work.
I just don't believe that.
If you live,
T-Bird said he's out on this.
If you live that far out in the sticks, you would. That's how you do it. But, no, I heard people say that he must have figured out people thought it was pretty funny the way he talked and that he's laying it on a little
when
thick,
when you say
basically.
So far out in the sticks, where you're like, there's no grocery stores nearby? He can't buy friggin' Tyson chicken nuggets and put them in an oven?
Let's not talk about food desert. Well, what if his family just liked the taste of raccoon?
I don't think anybody does, dude.
How would you know? Have you tried it?
Because here's what I've learned from people who are much smarter than me on these things.
Okay.
A lot of the way meat tastes has to do with what they're eating.
Right, so if they're eating a fatty diet.
And because raccoons are just scavengers and eating whatever they can find, that's going to be some gamey-ass meat, bro.
So, like, venison would be kind of gamey.
Yeah, venison's hit or miss based on what those deer are eating.
So this gentleman, Mr. Leggett, went to Mullins High School. You're seeing Mullins on my map here. It's about 4,000 people. It looks like a pretty small town.
They're not eating raccoon.
Nothing.
I still don't think they're eating raccoon. Now that I think about it, I am calling shenanigans.
What do you make of it apparently being a little bit of a put-on with the voice?
I'm buying it now that this raccoon dude.
Well, you know who's our expert on this subject, and he'll probably text me if he's still listening. He went to South Carolina, Leggett did. Fake John and Robinson could be our expert. He's a huge Gamecocks fan. So he could. I'm sure he's heard Leggett in college.
And from
talk.
Going down there, he's polled people on whether or not raccoon is part of the local cuisine.
We're talking
cuisine.
About two different things. I'm telling you that the voice is a bit of a put on in the pros.
Okay, and I'm like, saying that, and I'm now on T-Bird's side. I think the raccoon eating thing is untrue, a falsehood.
No, I think people way out in the boonies there are definitely eating raccoon.
Anyways,
squirrels, things like that.
I think it's got to be a low scoring game to win.
Yeah.
And the whole one of the big things that have gotten Steelers fans buying into this team is they can do it anyway. They can win a shootout in Cincinnati. They can win an ugly game like Baltimore. I think as long as Pickens is out, but I think for this game, Philly is so exceptional and so impressive defensively that the only way to win this game is going to for it to be super low scoring and to come down to maybe Boswell's a great kicker, and their guy, by the way, can't make long kicks.
Mm-hmm.
So bottom line is I think we could get shut out, and I think we're going to have to win a game. I think one touchdown might be a lot for us unless our defense takes the ball away and gets us for short fields. But their offense doesn't turn the ball over. They haven't had a turnover, I think, in three or four games.
I was going to say that.
Another thing Tomlin would love about the Eagles.
The problem with Hurts isn't that he turns the ball over a lot, and their offense hasn't had a turnover since.
No, they don't have big plays in the passing game. That's the issue.
He is a really good quarterback because of the running element, but he is not a good passer still. Like, and that's not even me being provincial.
I don't know.
Like,
I go back and forth
on that. The people who break this stuff down at a granular level.
Sometimes I feel like he is, like, in the Super Bowl against Kansas City.
But I think he's
against us 2 years ago. He did, too.
I think he's regressed from those times.
I think he's a roller coaster. I think he's inconsistent. I think he can do it. To your point, though, if you're going to be really good at it,
you do it every
week. You're Joe Burrow. He doesn't do that.
How many games do you think he's had this year over 300 yards passing? How many games under 200?
Six?
Yep.
I'm guessing.
Well, you got both of them.
Thank you.
So he's not – I mean, he's throwing for like
– So what is your midweek vibe on this game? Good,
it's
bad?
It's actually – I thought of a word for this. Serene. Completely serene.
Do you know what that word means, T-Bird?
Oh, come on. That's not that much of a
– Synonyms would be tranquil, peaceful, relaxing.
Oh, look at the human thesaurus.
How about placid?
Well, Lake Placid.
No?
I know that as, I guess, an adjective for the color blue, but
– Placid?
Placid blue, that's a color, right?
Man, now I'm starting to wonder about
based
what
off
doing.
The lake.
I think the mushrooms are finally starting to kick in for our boy T-Bird here.
Yeah, let's just move on here. He's probably smelling colors
it's the
right
raccoon.
Now.
Talk.
I am serene about this game because it's just total house money. Like, I don't think you said anything untrue about Philly. I think they are a hell of a measuring stick because I think they are perhaps the most complete team right now in the NFL with Detroit's defense all banged up. Apparently T-Bird's showing Pony a picture to prove that he's right.
No, he is right, yeah.
I'm not concerning myself too much with what happens. If the Steelers lose like 50-0 or something and look like get completely humiliated, okay. Like, I'm going to come on the air and be like, that's not an effort becoming of an NFL
team. I know,
team.
But even if something like that were to happen, you'd probably say, well, these things happen in Philly when we went to the AFC Championship game. We got blown out by 5 touchdowns there.
Because they do. You know what I actually am? I'm serene about it because I just feel like it's a house money game. You know what I want to see more than anything, though? You're talking about, like, are they even going to score on the Eagles? The defense is so good. I want to see if this defense can slow down Barkley. Like, Tomlin likes to try to gin up a challenge.
All right,
he made Orlando Brown out to be like
Anthony
Jonathan
Munoz.
Ogden or Anthony Munoz.
All right,
for
so
Herbig.
Midweek, do you feel good about them doing that?
You know what? I believe it or not, I do. And I know that offensive line in Philly is stacked and that they are still really good even without Kelsey. But I actually think one of the stories of this game that's going to be positive for the Steelers is that they largely slow down Barkley. I think it might be a big Landon Roberts game. There could be a few tone-setting hits in there. I know that they're probably going to have Wilson on the field a lot because Barkley's a good pass catcher, although it's way more about the running for him this year. But I think the Steelers will manage to match that physicality, and they're going to force Hurts to make some plays to beat him, which I think obviously he can do. But I feel serene, man. It just feels like a very rare game.
Late in the year.
Very unique in that it's late in the year, and it's two teams who have a combined 21 wins, and only their record is 21-5. And it feels like there are almost no actual stakes.
I teased that there was an injury update. We'll talk more with Jeff about this. Obviously, no Pickens today at practice. Larry Ogunjobi didn't practice, and to your point about Saquon Barkley, all right, I don't think to the naked eye Ogunjobi's had a good year this year. I think he's making more than I know he's making more than $10 million. It just feels like they're not getting their money's worth with him. Now, take this with a grain of salt, obviously. Run stuffing win rate. Do you beat your block and do you stop the run? That is a stat that they keep track of in the NFL.
Okay.
Larry Ogunjobi, according to the stat keeping on that, is the third best run defender among defensive linemen in the entire league.
So he's winning his block.
So if Roberts is the great run suppressing linebacker,
the downhill
player, Ogunjobi is that on the defensive line.
And Roberts is
numbers,
made and Roberts,
better than Hayward this year.
Well, Roberts is probably made better by Ogunjobi occupying blocks or defeating his blocks, so that Roberts.
Dude, when I saw that
downhill
today, I could not believe that because I have felt largely like he's had a bad year this year. Ogunjobi.
He's a different. Well, he's clearly been a different player here, or a different kind of player than he was in his best years before he got here, where he was a disruptive sort of like penetrating defensive lineman.
Yeah, he gets sacks and pressures
and
stuff.
He was a sack guy and everything else, but now it sounds like they're asking him to kind of hold the line.
And when he plays, he's awesome at it.
Like Toto.
So he did not practice today.
You like that song?
I do. I like
Love
Africa
Isn't
better.
Always on Time?
Oh, like,
I mean, Africa's a classic. What about 99? 99?
Never heard it.
Never heard it?
I've heard 99 Balloons or whatever it's called.
Yeah, no, Toto's got a song.
Have you heard 99 Balloons, T-Bird? The song?
Yes.
Thank you. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service. We are live at Porky's in Aetna. Our For the Win charity drive rolls on, benefiting the Greater Pittsburgh Women's Center and Shelter. Can donate money, 937thefan.com, drop off money here, or bring gift cards. We are encouraging that. Target, Walmart, Amazon, you name it. Big retailers trying to get people the things they need this holiday season to put a smile on everybody's face, and the Women's Center and Shelter definitely helping with that, and we're trying to do our part too. All right, Steelers and Eagles. We just went over it. Mulsey basically is numb to the results of this game. If the Steelers lose, that's
fine. I'm serene. I'm just completely kicking it. Like, numb would be, I'm a basket case. I'm
But what if you're comfortably numb?
I've become so numb to the results of, you know.
Who's that?
Linkin Park.
How about Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd?
It's okay. Makes me think of a guy that I used
great
to work with,
dude.
Starkey.
Don't say just okay. Fantastic song. There was a bowling alley.
It's all right.
Clinton Lanes where we used to go, and the guys that ran it were just complete dopes. And they'd be up front, and they'd be hitting on, like, women with, like, big hair, hairspray. This is, like, early 2000s. You know, like, cougarish women in their, like, late 40s that were on the prowl again, probably divorced and whatnot.
Okay. And what a robust picture you're painting.
And it was not electric scoring. You kept your own score at this bowling alley.
Tough. Man, tough to do if you don't know how.
Right. But, I mean, you basically were on the Scouts Honor System.
Uh-huh.
So these guys were so aloof to everything. We'd be there for 2 hours. We'd say we played two games, and they were fine with it. So I'm telling the story because for whatever reason, I feel like two things would play constantly there. Pink Floyd's Greatest Hits and the Southern Rock compilation, better known as Going South, which had
Neil
like,
Young,
which had
not,
like,
not Neil Young,
which
probably
had like
Skinner,
Ramblin' Man by Allman Brothers,
Freebird,
the song Tough Enough on it.
Oh, Tough Enough is an unbelievable tune.
Amy by Pure Prairie League. Would play
again,
every
another
time.
Jam. Wait, is it Tough Enough? The Fabulous Flying
yeah.
Freebirds
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah. It is.
Am I tough enough? Yep. Oh, that Amy, and then Amy doesn't really belong in there though, because it's like soft rock.
And so we asked the guys once, like, where they're putting all, like, because we think it was like a Burn CD, and the guy said that who ran the place that he watched a commercial on TV back then that was selling an album called Going South that had a compilation of all these songs. And if you look it up, I'm pretty sure, like...
Oh, I can't wait to do the track list.
It was just like a woman with a cowboy hat and, like, large breasts on the cover, and that's why he was so into it.
Yep. Here it
right?
is. Yep. Yes.
I'm telling you, there, dude,
she,
see?
There she is. Look at this thing. Oh, man.
Yep.
They weren't even trying.
Look at her trying to hitch a ride in that.
I know. This one...
On the back cover.
Here's Going South Volume 2.
Yep.
They just used a different angle.
Yeah. Anyways, it is time for the Hawk Report. Jeff Hathorn over at 93.7thefan.com on the Steelers' first day of prep for the Eagles. All right, Jeff, everyone's weighed in here on how long George Pickens will be out for. What's your best guess?
Well, I mean, obviously for this week. I think there's – I'm not going to rule him out for Baltimore, even if they were to use him situationally. I don't know if we're at that point yet. I mean, we haven't seen him out on the field or anything like that, obviously, but I'm not going to rule out Baltimore yet.
Jeff, how do you just react to or try to reconcile how they seem to have handled this injury as far as the timeline, like not getting the MRI right away? Just from my vantage point and from what Tomlin said, the entire process seems a little convoluted and kind of backwards.
Yeah, if anything, maybe they just didn't believe enough on the first, you know, that what happened Thursday. I mean, we saw him Friday at practice. He was catching some balls with Zach Azani. I mean, and he wasn't going through stretching, but you didn't think a ton of it because sometimes guys are limited on Friday and just, you know, it's veterans time or whatever it is.
How about what he did on game
day? He was out there
day.
For practice.
Did he do What's anything that? To try to get ready for the game on Sunday, Jeff?
So we kept – obviously, we were watching, and we never saw him come out for the game. So, obviously, whatever – now, I will say this, and AB used to do this all the time. Guys would stretch in the tunnel or do some runs in the tunnel before even coming out on the field. He may have done that. And given what Tomlin said pregame, like, I don't have a reason to believe why Tomlin wouldn't say – we're not sure if George is going to play. He seemed pretty sure, and whatever George, you know, told them about the hamstring, then they had another test done. I think if anything that's convoluted about it is maybe initially they didn't think it was as big of a deal as it turned out to be.
Jeff, your best guess on who will be the Steelers' leader in receiving yards then against the Eagles on Sunday?
Ben Skowronek? No, I think Calvin Austin will be the leader in receiving yards against the Eagles.
Do you think that they will have a better, like a game plan that looks obviously better? They'll be able to do more things because they've had more time to prepare for no George Pickens instead of finding out maybe 2 hours before game time.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think we'll see more Mike Williams in this game. I mean, out of necessity as much as anything. I'm sure you guys have talked about it. We've talked about it a lot here. I mean, he is the closest thing they have in profile to George Pickens, and he's had some big plays. He's made chunk plays in the league. He has the ability to go up and get balls. Where he struggled with in a short sample size with the Steelers is just kind of creating some of the separation that George is able to do. But I think he'll get more snaps. I just, you know, if they pay attention there, I think they've done some nice things with Calvin, and that's why I'm going in that direction of the receivers. Now, overall, who knows? Freiermuth might be the leading overall receiver on the team.
Jeff, how about my idea that if they're willing to be precautious with Pickens, why not carry that over to the entire team? If the game for the division is next week, Hayward didn't get as many snaps against Cleveland, why not keep those guys in check and make sure you don't
No, I get what you're saying.
No? Okay.
Don't say that.
Make sure you don't use
spit the
up
bit.
All your bullets here.
There you go.
During this three-game stretch. And if you can kind of pace yourself in a game, it would be this one and not the Ravens and Chiefs.
I get what you're saying. There's a chance that to clinch a playoff spot. There's still a chance to get the number one overall seed if you look at it and say, okay, at some point the Chiefs, they're not going to pull out these games, and Buffalo could lose to Detroit, and who knows, maybe you know, you pull off a something you haven't done in Philadelphia since the, what, Johnson administration or Nixon, whatever it was, back in 65, and you know, and you find a way to win. I don't want that attitude. I understand what you're going at, but I think you got to go at it with all your healthy players in Philadelphia.
Jeff, I said Pony likes to do the vibe checks middle of the week on games, and I just said I'm totally serene about this game because even good Steelers teams go into Philly and then basically get turned into pulp. Like, not only do they lose, but they usually get battered and then embarrassed on the scoreboard. And so I kind of just said, like, yeah, whatever happens, I'm just kind of putting it in the memory hole. And unless they win, in which case I'll act like it's the greatest thing ever. But if they lose, like, so what? Who cares? How are you feeling about this game as whether or not it's a measuring stick of any kind for the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, I do think there's some measuring stick to it to kind of see where you're at against a really good team. This one, obviously, 9 straight. But if you lose this game, I mean, you turn right back around and got a chance to win the division, you know, 6 days later. So I don't think it shouldn't be a tough recovery. Even if you go to Philly and do it, you know, we've seen a couple of teams that Ben Roethlisberger quarterback do and just get knocked around the park. So even if that were to happen, you've got such a quick turnaround against your big division rival at their place. I don't see that really impacting them. Now you get a win, and you do it without George. Man, you're riding some more momentum heading into that Baltimore game.
Is this you? Is this a soft, big, bold prediction from you?
Yeah, I'm not that bold at this point .
Jeff.
But I will say this. Listen, I mean, the Browns found a way to slow down Saquon. Derrick Henry had 65 yards against the Steelers in that game. I mean, they have stepped up against good running backs. They held the Browns to 3.4 yards per carry. I think this defense is capable of slowing down even the role that Saquon's on.
Jeff, just a quick two things from the college ranks. Now Adam Schefter tweeting that's going to happen. Bill Belichick finalizing a deal to be the next head coach at North Carolina, and that's a
Chapel
huge story.
Bill.
He's very nice, very good. Belichick, he writes, is going back to school where his father was an assistant coach in the 1950s. But got to be honest, Jeff, that's not the big story I wanted to run by you from college football. Ohio State Representative Josh Williams from Toledo proposing to make it a felony. He's trying to bring a bill to the State House floor to make it a felony to plant any flag in the middle of the field at Ohio Stadium. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, listen, and if you're a representative in Toledo, you're right in the middle of this Ohio State-Michigan rivalry because of proximity. Listen, come on. Don't do it. Don't plant flags. No one wants to see that. It's going to cause a fight every time. But felony? Like, don't you have anything else to worry about?
What's the bigger loser move, this lawmaker proposing this or Ryan Day choosing not to throw it to his stable of NFL-quality receivers basically for the entire second half of that game?
Man, you're really trying to pick at those wounds with Jeff.
Wow.
I know.
You know what the bigger problem was? They thought they could win with Will freaking Howard at the beginning of the year. They spent $22 million on a roster and picked Will Howard as the quarterback. Come on, man.
They had the best pocket passer in America right under their nose there, and they let him go to Syracuse.
Oh.
All right, Jeff.
Yeah.
We'll talk again soon. Thank you for the Hawk Report.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that, boys.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. You can follow us at 93.7 The Fan. All right, we'll react to it next. It is a done deal. Belichick, one of the Steelers' all-time enemies, will now be coaching against Pitt at North Carolina. It's a College Football Minute. Because Bill Belichick is on his way to North Carolina. We know it's a done deal because Adam Schefter tweeted it. He presented them with a 400-page document and said, meet my demands. Apparently they said, fine, we'll do it. I'm guessing we'll also find out soon that Steve Belichick, his son, is the coach in waiting there. He was the defensive coordinator at the University of Washington this year where they went only 6-6. And so Bill Belichick in his early 70s will forego a return to the NFL, will no longer chase Don Shula's record, will not try to tie Tom Brady with 7 Super Bowls. He will do what his protege did, Nick Saban, and try to win at the college game. Now, among the great coaches in the annals of football history who have done both, Malzi, let's think off the top of our head here. Pete Carroll,
Jim
USC,
Harbaugh.
And the Seahawks. Yes, oh, well, Jim Harbaugh hasn't done the NFL.
Hasn't won
come
the title.
Close, so I'd say he's been successful at both. But
sorry, we're saying win
both.
A title.
Yes.
Pete Carroll.
Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy did it.
The U and the Dallas Cowboys. Barry Switzer.
Yeah.
Oh. The Cowboys in Oklahoma.
You want to No, Walsh never did it at Stanford.
No, not even.
Walsh
close.
Went back to Stanford, though, like Belichick's doing after a decorated pro career.
And did not do
went
all
that 17 well. And 17.
How did you know that? Did someone just tweet that into your timeline?
I just read a story about Belichick today, and it mentioned that.
So it's trying to use Walsh as a way of tamping down expectations for
even
for
the
Bill.
Greatest coaches prior to Bill. Wait, is there anybody else we're missing who titled in both? Switzer, Jimmy, and then Pete Carroll.
Lou Holtz. No, he was terrible with the Jets.
Nick Saban was bad in the pros.
Last time North Carolina finished a season ranked was 2020, the COVID year. Last time they finished a season ranked before that was 2015. They beat Pitt on a big Thursday night game, ended up in the ACC championship.
Is that like a Marquise Williams team?
Yep, and then ended up losing in the ACC championship game, I think, to Clemson and finished 15th.
I feel like there are a lot of good players who come from North Carolina. They're like a
Julius Peppers,
Lawrence
Taylor.
They're like a somewhat above average, like a better version of Pitt, where people always talk about how Pitt produces NFL players, but not a lot of teams that win 10 or 11 games. I feel like Carolina is the slightly better version
in
of that.
In 97, they finished fourth
in the country.
Yep, they went 10-1 that year. So that's how long it's been since they were a top 10 team. Belichick takes it. I'm sure we'll get more details on everything that went into this deal and who he's bringing with him. I'm guessing we're going to see a lot of the Romeo Crennels and Josh McDaniels. And
you think we can get Charlie Weiss out of whatever he's doing?
A Weiss, yep, a Crennel, a McDaniels.
Remember when Weiss said when
Mangini anymore.
When Weiss got to Notre Dame or whatever, he said they were going to have a pronounced strategic advantage over everyone else basically because he was so smart. How'd that go?
And then he went to Kansas and got blown out of there and I think was one of the rare human beings that was collecting, while he was unemployed,
money from
big
Kansas.
Checks from both schools. No, I think Notre Dame and Kansas were paying him.
Honestly,
at the same time.
Man,
what a life.
Honestly, he goes down as one of the bigger complete frauds. In terms of, like, taken out of the Belichick cocoon, he might be the
All
single
biggest.
All those
guys were pretty much
his head
coaches.
Weiss just failed in, like, spectacular fashion.
Good news or bad news for Pitt, who's now a direct competitor.
I think it's bad news.
And rival with Bill Belichick.
I think it's bad news because, I mean, their games will be more interesting because he's just he draws interest, but he's a better coach than Mac Brown. Mac Brown was quitting 1 week at North Carolina. And then, like, nah, I'm back. I just threw a temper tantrum. Belichick's better than him. He's not, you know, he's about as old as Mac Brown, but he's better than him. And I think there's going to be, especially in, like, year one where we've seen teams turn it around quick, there's going to be an interest bump there, and there's probably going to be a player bump. Like, there are going to be guys who want to go there because, holy crap, Bill Belichick's at, yeah, I'll go play
Bill
there.
Belichick can get me to the NFL. I mean, yeah. Look how quickly Deion Sanders, now he had Jackson State experience, and he took his kid with him at Hunter.
And Hunter, the two, you know, but the high, likely Heisman
right.
Trophy winner.
You still have to have another 70 guys on the team. They had a great year this year by Colorado football standards. So in 2 years, he completely revamped and turned around a dormant college football program. North Carolina's not that. They've just been, like Pitt, largely mediocre for a long time because they're a basketball school and not a football school. But think about this to bolster the Belichick point. If Kurt Cignetti can take Indiana from 3-9 and into the college football playoff in 1 year, why can't Belichick do that at North Carolina? The team that just won the league lost 3 games. They don't take transfers at Clemson. The academies in Clemson are the only schools that don't do it. That's the team that you have to beat in your league, and they're more vulnerable than ever before. I mean, if Pitt did not have a complete brain fart, late
Clemson.
In the game, and the dude rips off the quarterback a 50-yard run, they win that game, and Clemson's not even getting ready to play Texas
Correct.
In the playoff in a few weeks.
Florida State should be a power in the ACC, but they're not. They're a mess right now. I actually think And Craig brought this up to me and you yesterday, and he's right. I think SMU.
Craig, our boss, yes.
I think SMU is the biggest impediment to them. SMU, if those donors want to keep backing up the truck to put good rosters out there, SMU should become the best team in the
ACC.
Would
you put North Carolina ahead of Miami right now?
Similar level. It's like, and it's also with Miami, do like the donors want to keep shelling out cash? They're going to get like another Cam Ward next year.
That, but I
also, you know who I don't trust? Mario Cristobal.
Well, yeah, the dude's lost some of the most ridiculous
games. His game management skills
make Tomlin look like he is Bill Belichick.
Yeah, he's a complete buffoon. So, yes, I put North Carolina immediately above Miami because Cristobal finds a way to screw up a one-car funeral.
The ACC football schedule is not out for next year, but, my God, I really want to see a Pitt-North Carolina game at Hacker
Stadium. Well, we know that Pat is very paranoid in the best of times, and we like Pat, but he gets very...
We got to get Pat on our show to get his thoughts on this.
He wants to keep it like close to the vest, and you know that Bill is going to make him paranoid. Oh, he'll have Bill anecdotes, I feel like. He'll have takes. My favorite Pat of all time take is, of course, the can't go to college, go to Kent story. Me telling him
your wife went
my wife went there. And then I just think in still one of the quickest thinking on your feet situations I've ever seen, he goes, well, Nick Saban went there.
All right, so here's the 2025 North Carolina football schedule. It does not have Pitt. TCU at Charlotte.
It has the Q's, baby.
At UCF, at Cal, at NC State, Clemson, Duke, Stanford, Virginia at Syracuse, at Wake Forest. God, there's barely any good teams.
Can we go to the game at the Dome? Can we go to what do they call it now? The something or other Dome?
The something wireless.
Can we go to Syracuse and make a trip?
You know what? That's another one of those things. You know what you're doing right now? It's like when you run into someone and you say,
hey, we should hang out more.
And then it never happens. You're saying, should we go up there? And given our lifestyles and things we have going on, that will never happen.
You imagine if I just tried to tell Alex, hey, honey, I'll be gone for a couple days. Me and Andrew are going up to Syracuse, North Carolina. We want to see Bill Belichick stand around on the sidelines and look miserable.
I'm sure she'd love you, you know, stick her with the kids for 2 days so you can go watch that. She'd just absolutely
Oh, she'd be over the moon. She'd be so thrilled.
That.
Yeah, she'd be thrilled with me.
This is an interesting tweet from Rappaport on it. From the moment Bill Belichick began speaking to North Carolina, this was serious, says Rap Sheet.
They're talking about it like it's a relationship.
Now he's slated to land in college, following the footsteps of friends Nick Saban, Greg Schiano, and Kirk Ferentz.
Kirk Ferentz. What if Ferentz
been at Iowa forever?
What if he just quit at Iowa to go hang out in a low pressure job on Belichick's staff? They're gonna have to extricate Ferentz from Iowa with like a hammer and chisel, though.
Do you think we get Belichick, who was just like the mumbling, hate the media, never tried to like put a smile on things and be effervescent and upbeat? Do you think because it's college and he constantly has to sell the program, we see the guy we've seen on the Manning cast and the McAfee show? Because I think we will. I think he knows he's gonna have to turn it on now and be more.
But
bubbly Bill.
I think post-game Bill is still going to be, no. Like,
okay, that, after
nothing.
They lose, that's fine.
But I think even after they win, I don't know how much you're going to see bubbly Bill, but I think outside of that, he'll be a little
I don't think his press conferences are going to be like, we're playing Richmond, they've got good special teams, good offense, good defense,
I mean,
good
we'll
players.
See. You know who we should have on to talk about this? We should see what Brooke Pryor's feeling like tomorrow.
What has she tweeted? Because she's a UNC alum.
She just said... I don't know. She's posting a picture of yogurt that's like supposed to be some sort of UNC joke.
No. I don't like inside jokes.
Yeah, I'm rarely speechless, but wow, it's really happening, says Brooke. I think we got to have her on for a gauge. A gauge of, like, is she...
Is she the most famous North Carolina alum who lives in Pittsburgh?
Who's there anybody on their team right now that's from UNC?
Mitch Trubisky's gone.
Yeah.
So is our friend Ryan Switzer.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, do you know who North Carolina's coach is right now for their bowl game?
Wait, when Cam Johnson's in town, is he more famous than Brooke?
He's a Pitt guy.
He went to North Carolina and finished up there.
Yeah, but I think of him as more of a Pitt guy.
Wow.
When Russell Wilson looks at great plays by Peyton Wilson, he says, that's my Wolfpack guy. He doesn't shout out his Wisconsin dudes.
I think he'd shout out anybody. What were you saying before that?
Freddie Kitchens is the North Carolina football coach right now.
Oh, my God, dude. I was not. You told me you were going to like let us all know what that was, and I was not prepared for old Freddie. What role did he have on the staff prior to that?
He was like an assistant tight ends coach.
Man, was anybody more out of their depth as an NFL head coach than him?
And the Browns only promoted him because he got along with Baker. Remember he wore that shirt to the movies that said they started it after the Miles Garrett thing?
It's actually a miracle he was an NFL head coach.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Low of 19, some snow. Hodgepodge coming up. Then PM team overtime. And then Pitt Eastern Kentucky basketball on the Fan. We are live at Porky's in Aetna. Still here for a few more minutes. Come down and say hello if you can. Chris has a message for you, and then we're right back on the Fan.
That's right. I do have a message for you, Pony. Like many of you, I am not a tech expert, okay? But also, like many of you, I'm online a lot. And that could be managing my banking, my finances, could be doing some online shopping. I could just be sitting there like a lot of us do on the computer or the phone, browsing the web. Now, I've been concerned at various points in the past about scams. We all hear about them. You've probably gotten an email in the last day that looks kind of shady. You probably have gotten a text message in the last day that looks suspicious. I got one this morning. It was ridiculous. It was like somebody was talking like a famous character from a movie that I'm not allowed to say because they wouldn't want to be affiliated with this anyway, or scams. But when you're trying to keep track of all that, it can be very stressful. It can be worrisome. It does not have to be, though, because McAfee Total Protection's here to help you live a worry-free life online. You won't have to be concerned about scams or identity theft, data leaks, and threats on your PC. McAfee will help keep your devices, your privacy, and your identity safer. Visit McAfee.com/online protection today to get award-winning online protection for just $39.99 your first year. Cancel any time. Terms apply.
We're at Porky's in Aetna for our For the Win charity drive benefiting the Greater Pittsburgh Women's Center and Shelter, taking money donations and also gift cards. You can go to 937thefan.com if you can't be here in person to donate. We're trying to help out families in this area who need help this holiday season. PM team overtime follows us. Then it's basketball, Pitt in Eastern Kentucky. It's time for a hodgepodge. Hit it, Charlie.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
All right, Noah Hyles in the Post-Gazette. We talked about the Spencer Horwitz trade earlier in the show. Now Hyles reports that Mitch Keller and Jared Jones could be on the move. He also says, and I don't want to under or downplay that, those two guys being on the trade block. But I don't want to forget this either. He says in this story, the Pirates will need to get creative when it comes to improving their club. And trades such as the one Tuesday are a more likely avenue than handing out sizable contracts to free agents at this juncture. Give me the dog in the burning house with the mug that says I'm fine right now reading that paragraph, if true.
The pitchers that are – I mean, first off, Keller, Jones. Listen, I understand Keller faded and so did Jones, but
– 2 years in a row with Keller.
I know. But, oh, yeah, they were potentially available. What are we doing here? We're talking about a team that we're all saying is supposed to, for as long as Paul Skeens is here, maximize their window. So one of the things they were considering doing was, if the right deal materialized, dealing out Jared Jones, who, when he was on, was as electric as just about anybody in baseball. I mean, it just, hey, they could spend more money on free agents, but they're probably going to do this instead.
Hey, T-Bird, you're Peter. Malzie's Paul. Give me this. I'm giving it to him. That's robbing Peter to pay Paul right there. That is exactly.
I'm so demoralized by this.
Trading Mitch Keller or Jared Jones for offensive firepower punch. That's what that would be. That would be, yes, you would be taking from a surplus, but you would also be taking what in theory is what Derek Shelton said on MLB Network, their greatest theoretical advantage, which is their young, up-and-coming pitching staff. If you trade Jared Jones, that's your co-ace in theory. You think Paul Skeens is going to be a big fan of that? Those guys are basically BFFs and thickest thieves with each other. They look at Mitch Keller as a big brother. Now, for me, I would not hate the idea of trading Keller, but the message it would send is we just took the guy that's basically our highest paid player and we dealt them for who knows what. That's my issue with the Ortiz trade, getting back to that from last night. Okay, you made a fair baseball trade, but how much better did you actually make your team when you still took away a good player off your major league roster? The best part about free agency is you just add a guy and you don't subtract anybody off your team.
But it costs the most money to do that. I don't know, man. I can't even say anything because I just feel like I'll really pop off and go like nuclear here. But there were people who I think held out hope that because they understood they had a golden ticket with Skeens, they would behave a little differently in the free agent market. Not only does it appear very like obvious that they're not going to do that, they're acting even more conservatively here, if anything. And you know it's not because they're lining up to try to offer Skeens like a real extension that buys out free agent years. You know that has nothing to do with it. Oh, yeah, we've got this unbelievable thing, the best pitcher in baseball on an entry-level deal. So we're going to trade a guy, have a couple other guys dangling out there to be traded who are all, like in the case of Keller and especially Jones, supposed to be like major components of the next winning Pirates team. Yeah, we could spend on free agents, but essentially the answer is we won't.
The ultimate goal of trading Keller, per sources, would be to trim payroll.
How much more is there to
while
trim?
While also upgrading other areas on the roster. Just hearing Pirates and trim payroll in the same sentence just makes me want to take my fist and punch myself in the head repeatedly.
You know, if they were a team like the Rays that has routinely done stuff like this and ended up continuing to churn out wins, I wouldn't like it because I hate the way that that teams like this choose to operate. But at least you could say, well, they're usually two steps ahead of everyone else. They're not. They're not. They're not even close to the Rays.
Next.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
Man, you put me on tilt bad with that one.
Do you have something more uplifting here, Malsy?
Not really. Did you see the obviously, you had to have seen like some of it, the exchange between Brett Favre and Mark Gastineau?
Gastineau giving
Favre a very hard time, like pretty uncomfortable interaction.
He made Favre look likable in that, which is not an easy thing to do right now.
Favre comes off as he's trying to be diplomatic, but Gastineau basically says, you cost me the single-season sack record by handing one out to Michael Strahan, which, let's be all honest and real here, he did. He took a dive from Michael Strahan, did Brett Favre. It was a very suspect sack. Favre even says, of all the sacks and tackles for loss he had that year, it probably wasn't one of his most impressive.
Okay, so I've watched that play a million times.
He falls down.
He did fall down, but what could Favre have done?
He could have thrown the ball away.
He was not so it would have been intentional grounding?
Yeah, but you don't get credit for a sack for that. He could have thrown the ball away.
But then he would have been looked at as the guy that kept Michael Strahan from getting the sack record because
of intentional
grounding.
But I think that could have been like seen as at least more of a legit football play. But my point about the whole story is like Gastineau does not look like he's in good shape, does he? In that video, he's either under the influence of something or he's just really been beat up by football. I don't know, man. I don't think Favre is a likable.
He's threatening to like kick his ass. I'm getting my sack back here.
Yeah. Favre is extremely unlikable. He bilked people. It sounds like
T.O. just
T.O. crushed him. He allegedly bilked people out of money, essentially, or misappropriated funds, I think, allegedly. I think Pat McAfee got in trouble for this, so I don't want to follow in his footsteps. But Brett has been connected to some not-so-savory alleged dealings. And I just thought of how like kind of sad it is. You know, in Favre's case, for us, he's like probably the first great, great, great quarterback you and I grew up watching. Like, we didn't really understand how good Montana was in the 80s. And
three-time MVP.
Three-peated as the MVP, I believe, in the mid-90s.
Split it with somebody. Do you know who?
The last time? Terrell Davis?
No.
No. 97, he split it?
Yep. Why is Ken Carman calling me right now?
He split it with somebody in 97.
Mm-hmm.
Barry?
Yep.
Anyway, like Gastineau, obviously New York sack exchange. I just came away from that whole exchange because Favre has Parkinson's now. Yeah, you didn't know that because he revealed that and people basically, I think, were rightly like, oh, you're just trying to put some like sympathetic attention on yourself given everything else that's going on. Man, look at what the game did to some people though. like, ultimately. That's, I guess, what I came away from that thinking was just tough exchange, and then just look at what it's done to those two guys.
So this is for a 30 for 30. It's honestly the most, like, it's the best video, like a 10 to 20 second video that I've ever seen to promote a 30 for 30. Because I'd have no interest in watching.
Oh, I'm going to watch it now.
I'd have no interest in watching a documentary on New York Jets defenders from the early 1980s.
I'm in now. I'm locked in.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable to watch the exchange. It really is.
Because Favre goes up to him like, hey, man, great to see you.
And Gastineau, can you imagine stewing over that for as many years as it's been since that sack record happened?
I've had that happen to me before, man. I've had that happen to me before with people where I've been like, hey, I'm Andrew Filippone, great to meet you. And they'll be like, you tweeted this out, and I hate your guts. And I'm like, whoa.
That person?
No.
Just like, so wait.
They just hated a take of mine that badly where they're like, you know, no, I'm not happy to meet you. I want to beat you up kind of thing.
Like, just rank and file fans of the show?
Yeah. Yeah, who hate listen.
I'm sort of surprised by that.
Yeah, hate
most listen. People that come up actually want to like say what's up and hate hey, listeners. Love the show. There's a guy out there who just like broke my hand with a handshake who's a big fan every day.
Like a Russell Wilson side?
No,
of
just he's a very he probably works like construction, blue collar guy. Your kind
oh,
of person.
Oh, love the blue collars.
Yeah. And he said, I listen every single day. You're my soundtrack, but I don't always agree with you guys. And I was like, good. We don't want you to. We want you to listen. We don't want you to agree with everything we say. That'd be horrifying. Half the time, you and I are like completely opposed on subjects.
T-Bird, what the hell is this game you're playing on your phone right now? What is that? On company time.
It's a Pizza Tycoon game.
Oh, yeah, Pizza Tycoon. Yes. How could I forget about Pizza Tycoon?
What is the point of the game?
To become a pizza tycoon.
To make more pizzas. You start from nothing, and then you have to build your way up to being the richest in the game.
Tale as old as time. Really.
Dude, you know
art mimics life.
I was going to say Papa John.
Man, has anyone that's like pretty rich and pretty famous ever taken funnier pictures when they're hammered than Papa John? Always just sweating bullets. Like, there's nothing refined about him when he gets drunk.
You know what is one?
He's sweaty. He's disgusting looking.
You know what is one thing Americans seem to rally around across the aisle politically, across all religions?
Something
and
that unites us in these trying times?
Yes.
What is it?
The universal belief that people love supporting mom and pop's pizza places over the chain pizza places.
Portnoy's made a whole like bit out of that. The one slice or one,
don't you,
one bite.
Don't
thing.
You agree with me on that?
Well, don't
I
you
feel
think
like
mom
America
and pops
loves
in general?
The mom and pop's pizza place. Do you agree,
think,
Charlie?
Don't you think mom and pops in general, though, they like any mom and pop business?
I think most adults, kids, I think, kind of are more into like the chain pizza places. Like Little Caesars and, you know, Chuck E. Cheese and stuff.
Okay, yes.
But I think people over the age of 18 rally around the fact that they got to support their local pizza parlor.
Honestly, like couldn't tell you the last time I ordered from a chain. It's always been mom and pop.
Minios.
Pony, did you work at one of those boutique mom and pop shops?
I did AJ's Pizza. This guy who was definitely a cocaine addict.
And he could still run a business?
Not great.
Yeah, the cocaine probably had something
whole,
to do with that.
His whole... wait, this was actually a very smart idea. Named it AJ's Pizza because that got you at the top of the phone book in the yellow pages.
Oh, either of his initials, A or J?
No, his name was like Ralph.
That's search engine optimization before it existed.
Right.
That man probably had Google stock if he didn't blow it all on Coke.
Ralph's Pizza sounds more official, though.
There was a pizza place where I grew up where they were dealing Coke out of the back.
No, would you? Hold on.
Okay.
We're dealing Coke out of the back. I think you told us the whole story right there, Charlie. Ralph's Pizza doesn't sound authentic at all. AJ's, you could be like, that's Anthony, you know, something or others. But,
Ralph.
Like, Ralph? A guy named Ralph's a plumber. He's not making pizza.
And the guy who, in like, his top, like, pizza guy was a dude who had moved from, like, Peru or something. And he would have me go, this was in a strip mall, he'd have me go down to the liquor store. And he'd be like, go put a little bottle of Captain Morgan in the freezer. So every time I go back to get, like, cheese or pepperoni,
I can have a little sip.
I have a little swig. So that was, like, our secret. Yeah. I was the delivery guy. I had some great stories from that job, boy.
How long did you last there?
It was a summer job.
So you'd go back every year?
No.
Oh, just that one summer?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think one time I got, like, super drunk at a party the night before, and I was supposed to go in the next day. And my buddies are like, call off, dude. Come up with, like, a lie to not go in. So I'm like, okay, I'll do that. So I called Ralph or AJ.
Yes.
And he's like, why can't you come in? And I'm like, my mom got electrocuted.
God.
And he goes, what happened? And I'm like, she was on a cordless phone while she was, like, in a puddle, and it, like, electrocuted her. And he's like, oh, man, that sucks. I guess I'll see you next week then, huh?
Wait, did you make it seem like my mom got electrocuted, she's going to be okay, or she's dead?
No, I didn't say she was dead.
I just said, see you next week. I hate it when moms get electrocuted.
Yeah.
He even bought that, though?
Enough to give me the
just a horrible lie.
A horrible.
I mean, really one of bad. Your absolute worst.
All right. PM Team Overtime is next. We will talk tomorrow at 2. Thanks, everybody here at Porky's and Aetna. We can't wait to come back. PM Team signing off.